just a really brief aside before we get started. Very excited to present this to you, but there were some technical difficulties. I don't know why Keith's mic, I don't know if it's his fault or if it's my fault, but his mic was really echoey. If you can deal with it, I really appreciate it. I'm sorry. I'll try to figure out what happened last week. I'm just not sure what happened, why I got so echoey. And it only sounded like that for a second, and it cleared up during the pod itself. But on the audio, it is a little more echoey. But stick with us if you can, and thank you for listening to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Televangelist Podcast. We talk about the best shows or the shows you should be watching, and we spread the word. I am joined by my host for WandaVision, Keith, or my co-host for WandaVision, Keith Fleming.
I was excited. Did I just get a promotion, RC?
I know, right? This has kind of been our WandaVision, whose line is it anyway? This is episode 8. What was the title? Previously On? Previously On, and it definitely was Previously On. What we try to do here is we go over the lines, and we kind of tell you how they made us feel. And at first, it was to try to figure out what was going on in the show. It's almost over, and this show, this was a lot of answers and less questions. So we're just going to kind of go over the lines, give you our general feeling. Right off the bat, well, let's do this before we do it first, so we make sure we get this in, because we had a little disagreement, and so we'll just do a little back and forth. What did you think of last week's episode?
So I really did enjoy it, and when Marvel first decided they were going to move into TV, I was a little hesitant about it, because, you know, the overall strength of the movies has been incredible. I mean, even the bad Marvel movies, at least in my opinion, are good movies. You know, like Iron Man 2, both of the first two Thors. I mean, there's been some movies that aren't great, but they're very good. And, you know, television's a different beast because you got to fill in so much time. And you caught a lot of that, and I had a lot of reservation after those first two episodes particularly. Some would say the first three. I think the third episode, you kind of started seeing the groundwork for what was being built. But after this episode, I'm fully confident in what they're doing, because I feel like that they sort of sussed out a character in Wanda to where you know more about her, feel more empathy, you know, feel like you have a better feeling on who the person is than any character that they've spent any time on in the movies. And if you think about it, it's because they were able to spend 35 minutes straight basically in a TV episode giving a backstory, showing what has been going on. We all know Wanda has been through grief. We heard the, you know, kind of the throwaway lines in the Age of Ultron, her first movie. Obviously, Civil War, she had some stuff. And then both in, you know, Infinity War and Endgame. But I feel like that this is only going to enhance the universe. And for the people, some people are going to say, well, you know, what happens if they don't watch the TV? I mean, if you watched Endgame, you kind of need to see all the movies in order to get the full effect of Endgame. I think this is just going to be another set of that, to where most Marvel fans are going to watch anything anyway. And it's just going to give you such a better feeling, or, you know, knowledge about these characters, which makes you care about them more. Like, I care more about Wanda now than I did going into the show.
Well, I love the show, but I did not like the, I mean, I'm waking up 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'm already an insomniac, so I use my insomnia to my advantage. I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning for some reason anyway. I wake up one or two or three or four twice. One of those two. So I just use that to my advantage. It comes out at 3 and I wake up at 4 and I watch it. But the problem with this episode, in my opinion, was too much exposition. And they do a lot of that on the show anyway. Some of these Marvel movies and shows need that. But they could have done this throughout the time and not loaded it all into one episode. That was my biggest problem, that they loaded it all up into one episode. The third time I watched it, I actually enjoyed it. But you rev me up and ready for the end game, the penultimate episode, then you just go backwards. And I didn't need that. I thought it was very clear what Wanda had been through without Endgame, without Infinity War, or even Age of Ultron. looking at the show, she's trapped all these people in this world. You see there's not something right. You see how she is. So you get the fact that she's in a lot of grief, and they go through great pains to tell you everything she went through. I didn't need them to show me it after they've already told me it. And if I'm a longtime Marvel watcher, I've already seen all this stuff, or they've told me all this stuff, and I just didn't need it. And I understand some people needed it, but to me, it was just grief porn. I'm not any more connected to Wanda now because I already felt those things. They told me about losing Vision, and there were some just heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching scenes, but I already was there because I followed along. Like, you've got to be going through a lot of grief to do what she's doing, you know? And weren't two characters that I enjoyed in the show, but so we just differ on that. But, I enjoyed the show in general. But let's get to the first one. First line. After killing all the witches, Buttermurder, Agatha says, "Please, I can be good." And Agatha's mom replies, "No, you can't." And she puts that witch juice on her that Agatha overcomes.
I'm assuming this is probably confirmation that Agatha is the big bad in this particular show, because we've done so much theorizing about, you know, whether it be Mephisto, Nightmare.
Are you sure? I guess
you
could
still not rule out Hayward playing a part as one of the villains, but I think it's so late, and that's something you've been on to actually for the last two or three episodes, that, I mean, they're saying right here she's bad. She's already killed a dog, which we know to Saltines, as you pointed out. That's an automatic villain move. So I think with this is kind of, the show is literally telling you she can't be good. She is a villain in the show.
I mean, I think when it, and Elizabeth Olsen, I keep remembering this quote more than any other quote. She says there's not really any villains. I think when they go through what Agatha's motives are, I think it's possible they can reconcile, and she could maybe be in that mentor role. Maybe Agatha isn't the bad guy. Maybe she's ends justify the means. She saw this powerful girl. She's like, what's going on? Or she kind of had a bad feeling, but then she realizes how powerful she is, and she says how dangerous she is, then maybe she's looking out for the best interests of humanity. Maybe. Or maybe she's the big bad, but I'm hoping that everybody has at least a comic book superhero-style shades of gray. But, I mean, she is kidnapping the children, too, so there's some dastardly stuff.
Right, holding them by their throat. Yeah, exactly. But Marvel is, I think, to your point, you know, the one superhero genre that the superheroes are not perfect, right? They're not Superman. They're as you're saying, shades of gray. In her first conversation with Wanda in this episode, she goes, as Wanda's trying to put a spell on her, "Oh, your magic is no good here. Didn't you notice? Base protection spell, one on each wall. No, nothing. These are runes, Wanda. In a given space, only the witch that casts runes can use her magic. How do you not know the fundamentals?" What did you think she was, you know, was she just kind of schooling her, or do you think she was seeing what she knew?
She was testing her, and she was schooling her. And Catherine Hahn did a really good job at kind of, she had to carry the episode with the snarkiness and guiding Wanda. So she did do a good job of that. That was the part I enjoyed most about the episode. But I think it was just like, she herself was puzzled. Like, she went on later and she was like, you know, this spell, I can do this spell, and I can do this spell, and you can just do it naturally, and it takes me years to do it. So I think she was challenging her, and at the same time, just like, well, what the hell? Like, why don't you know this simple stuff, but you are like this crazy being like I've never seen before?
This line confused me when I first heard it. But after the reveal, when she starts to revisit her childhood, I think you can say it was the first time that Wanda maybe did not get her powers from the stone, and then obviously more evidence that she doesn't fully understand her powers and what she can do. And I definitely think also this, that Agatha was filling her out and seeing, you know, what do you know, what don't you?
And let's see, our next one is, oh, Wanda. I always want to try to do it in her voice, but I won't. She just has a great witch voice. "Oh, Wanda, when I sensed this place, so many spells cast at once. Oh, I couldn't make heads or tails of it." And I just thought it was, this is interesting too, because I think this is how we'll end up getting Doctor Strange. And a lot of people are like, well, why isn't he there now? It's still just in a what? A small city mile radius. It's not time for the Avengers or Doctor Strange quite yet, I always felt. But I do think that it's interesting that this kind of gave you the rules for the witches. A lot of this was how the witches work and how they rank and what their powers are. So I thought that was interesting.
Don't forget, too, that we're still just weeks after Endgame. I mean, even superheroes need a break, right? Like, they just went through something pretty traumatic, so I'll give them a little bit of a break, but they're not immediately there. I also just think that we learned earlier in this episode that Agatha is a witch who's been around for centuries. We know that she stole her power from, many witches, and then to see something this powerful and someone that is doing this, and even she's never seen it and doesn't fully understand it, it just shows how powerful Wanda is. And I mean, of course, another witch or, sorcerer, whatever you want to call Agatha, she's going to want to know what's going on. The next line, and this was one of my favorite in the episode, your magic on autopilot. What's your secret, darling? I need you to tell me how you did this, Agatha to Wanda. And again, as I mentioned above, Agatha wants this power or to know how Wanda is doing it. But again, there is a big reveal to come. She could be manipulating Wanda, trying to get a certain reaction out of her, and we don't need to forget that, because remember, she spent the first two episodes convincing Wanda to get pregnant, which may not be great news for the twins, but we're not going to dive back into that. And then subsequent episodes driving a divide between Wanda and Vision, and obviously I think both of those had a purpose, so this could have another meaning as well. So she may be trying to learn, she may be trying to figure out, or she still could be trying to manipulate her, because, I mean, Wanda did get pregnant after she spent two episodes trying to convince her to. Her and Vision did fight after she kind of drove a wedge in between them. She's, as we know, manipulating her as well, so that could be this is awesome.
I think the next line kind of ties into this one, too, so we kind of take them together if you want. She says, sure. You'd rather fall apart than face your truth. It really bothers me, and that's part of kind of why they had to do so much heavy lifting this episode, is that Wanda doesn't seem to be mentally trying to challenge herself. And we talked about last week, she's not pushing herself at all. I guess she's in denial, but it's one thing to be in denial about the death, but she's not pushing herself to realize how you got your powers, or the fact that you had that thing happen with the Mind Stone. That happened before most of your grief, that your parents had died, but your brother hadn't died, Vision hadn't died. So I'm wondering why it's starting to make me think that I love Wanda the character, but it's starting to make me think she's a little dumb, a little like flighty or something, almost the way they portray her.
I mean, either that or just depressed so bad that she's literally a zombie walking around because she can't face the truth and is willing to face her own demise. And people she cares about demise, just if it means she doesn't have to face her own reality. And that is, I mean, that's really scary when a person, even if it's a superhero, gets into that place, because you kind of understand a little bit maybe of Hayward's concerns and the other side's that, this person is not in the right place of mind and has this immense power. So there is literally no telling what she's going to do next. At the end of this episode, when they're talking about the Dick Van Dyke show, you realize this is all a bad dream. None of it was real. And this is Wanda to Pietro talking about the Dick Van Dyke bike show. This was right after the Stark first bomb goes off. The second one lands. They're literally watching TV through the rubble. Maybe this is wishful thinking and a line that has meaning to the show at the same time, in my opinion. If you consider that Wanda created a whole world that wasn't real to escape the bad dream that is her life. So obviously it plays on what's going on in WandaVision. And then also she's just obviously trying to protect her brother, who, we found out also in this episode, the only thing that would make her happy would be to see him again.
And I saw this in this episode about the Dick Van Dyke Show. It's a play on the Body Snatchers movie. And so he is like having this horrible day and all these things are happening to him. And he wakes up and it's only a bad dream. And so that's where she got the idea, the concept. And I thought that the use of the Dick Van Dyke Show in particular was pretty meaningful. I thought they kind of went overboard with showing us all the DVDs and later showing us the Brady Bunch to a degree. But I thought that this part was a really nice tie-in emotionally to what was going on with Wanda and how she got into this phase where these sitcoms, it made you see how she could take these sitcoms and try to make it her life, because it all, at the end of 30
they
minutes...
They were a safe place.
Yeah, everything's right. Okay, yeah. And she says, Agatha says, did you stop that bomb? And Wanda's like, what? And Agatha says, you used the probability hex. And that one's juicy with a lot of potential meaning.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing to me is that this is confirmation that the commercials were all tragedies in her life. You know, there was a lot of theories early on whether the commercials that were being shown in the episodes that were, you know, based on a TV show, you'd have that one commercial, was it, you know, Infinity Stones, which there was discussion about that. There was about the tragedies in Wanda's life. And I think this was 100% telling you that it was about the tragedies in Wanda's life, because you remember, I think it was the first commercial, you had the toaster, and the only thing that was in color was the red dot beeping on the toaster. Well, as they are, you know, under the bed, hiding, probably fearful that they're going to die, you see this red dot on the Stark Industry bomb blinking. And to me, that was a dead, like, telltale sign that that is, you know, the case. The other big thing to me is just the fact that this kind of confirms that Wanda had powers beforehand, even before we get into it in a minute. It was the first time I stood up and said, no, wait a minute, is she saying that she stopped the bomb? And a probability hex, I actually was confused. I thought that meant the same kind of hex that she used around the building, but I know you're a bigger comic book fan than I am, but from what I've read, it's actually a lot of the magic that she uses in the comic book is considered hexes, and at the same time, she basically changes reality or perception or even time, which is what would have been the case here.
Yeah, Wanda's powers are really loosey-goosey in the comic books. They so you got a lot to go from. Of all the people that I know in the comics, like, her powers are the most fluid of all the superheroes, but that was a good summation of what was going on there. Or the fact that I won't get there yet. I won't jump the gun, because the next one you read will be this. But Agatha says to Wanda, the only way to go forward is back. I thought that might be a way we get a foreshadowing to the ending. How did you take that?
Well, I mean, other than it could have been the tagline for Endgame.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a bad joke. I really think maybe this was just a precursor of, you know, what, or I guess, you know, speaking to what she's doing. I mean, she's literally got to go back in order to understand her journey, because, I mean, at this point, she doesn't even understand her full powers, which you just made the great point that it's like, how do you have a moment, like we're going to discuss in just a minute, happen, and you don't ever even revisit that or think about it after that? It's wild. And, I'm assuming that maybe it was just that. Well, what was kind of your take? Because I think you seem to have a little bit more of an interesting take.
I mean, I think they could mean that she has to go back and face the reality of things to move forward in her life. They could mean that. It could mean that. I don't know if it's some kind of, I don't know, maybe I don't know who has what stone.
Especially with the multiverse and all that stuff coming up right too.
I get so confused about who has what stone and what they do, but there's one. There's the time stone, whatever time stone or whatever, they reverse time and crap. So I don't know how they do that, or would they make that, if they have to go back to, maybe she does get this, I doubt it, she gets this eidetic life where she has vision back and everything goes back, but I don't think so. But mainly I think it just means she's got to go back and deal with this and address it before she can move forward. That's what I think.
One quick question before we get on the next line. We know that the Loki show is gonna, or at least it is rumored to him joining, I guess, basically what is amounts to the Time
Yeah,
Police,
like Time
because you
Cops,
know
yeah.
he, correct, yeah. The one person that has not been mentioned as a potential cameo in this, I mean, could Loki not be a potential with, you know, all the Time Police, and we know how Marvel loves to sort of, you know, mix in shows or, you know, whatever is next. And technically, Loki, right after Falcon and Winter Soldier, is next. I haven't really heard anybody mention that. Do you think there's any chance that there could be a tie
That would
in
be
that way?
different.
Because that is about, you know, multiverse time, etc.
I haven't heard anybody say it as obvious as it might be, considering what they were showing you of the Loki show. I don't think they'll go that way, because it would just, he doesn't fit the tone of what they're doing. But it would be a hell of a it'd be a hell of a thing. But before this, just we'll do this part real quick. But have you heard about the Al Pacino rumors?
No.
It's a legit rumor on Twitter, and this woman whose podcast I listen to, who writes for Vanity Fair, it's a legit rumor. They think, well, I think it's dying now, but that Al Pacino was gonna be Mephisto.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. Hoo-ha!
It would be, right? And even on their show, somebody called in. Now, somebody did an impersonation of it, and it was so good. But I might screen record it and send it to you. But okay, and you know, he was the devil in Devil's Advocate. So it
Oh,
almost
that's
it's like,
right.
yeah, so it almost makes
Keanu
sense. But I'm
Reeves,
like,
great
people are
movie.
insane with these pre, like, you're gonna be disappointed if you think Al Pacino's gonna come at the end. But this one is mine. This was okay, so this kind of, we can talk about mutants here. Maybe I've given
Oh,
up
this
on
is like my
mutants.
favorite line of the episode for
I've kind
sure.
of given up on mutants for this show, but if there is, it's this one. So little orphan Wanda got up and close and personal with an infinity stone that amplified what otherwise would have died on the vine. The broken pieces are adding up. The broken pieces of you are adding up, Buttercup. I have a theory, but I need more. Agatha tells Wanda. What did you think on that?
Okay, there's two things, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you that, you know. Well, actually, first, let's tell the thing that I know for a fact. Wanda is shown right after this scene projecting a TV and watching her favorite show in a prison cell. And I say projecting because I seriously doubt that they are holding her in that awful prison in those awful clothes, and she has a TV. So basically, after she has the meeting with the stone, she, you know, we know that she can create matter, do all these things. We're assuming she got those powers, both from, you know, that she was born with some of them, and then it enhanced them in this meeting. She's immediately after that projecting a television show on the wall with no TV, which obviously I think that, again, the stone gave her the ability to create
That was
life,
a good
create
catch, because
objects,
I didn't catch
etc.
that. I just thought it was absurd that a Brady Bunch was up there. But
Exactly.
that's a pretty
Well, it was a
good
second viewing that actually was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? The other one, and again, this is theory, all that, but we learned that Wanda and you would assume Pietro were both born with powers, aka, I guess you can call them mutants. But the powers would have died on the vine if not amplified by the Infinity Stones. My big take from this is, does that mean that after the snap and blip, remember how they tracked Thanos at the beginning of Endgame because he used the stones again to destroy the stones, and it gave off a reading detected by Rocket? What if the two uses of the stones were powerful enough to amplify powers in any individual that might have been born like Pietro or Wanda and otherwise died on the vine, and therefore you have your explanation for mutants?
Yeah, I don't know, but that's, see, that's what I struggle with, because the mutants are supposed to be, you're born with it, and then somewhere in puberty you just hit it. And so I would struggle with the died on the vine part, confuses me. So I don't know, that's just the comic book geek and the canon with me and the lore. Maybe they're doing it differently, but you lose a lot of the X-Men. So the X-Men, I don't know how much you know, the X-Men in the 60s, Professor X, kind of non-violent, Magneto kind of violent, and or not kind of violent, Magneto violent, and
say,
Malcolm
yeah.
X kind of, and the Malcolm X kind of view. So they're like a metaphor for the civil rights and metaphor for gay rights, and just because they're different, they're treated poorly. But it's a harder thing to do. I think being born that way is such a big part of X-Men, not just like a random
instead of being created.
Yeah, because then they become like, well, Spider-Man, like, well, why don't you have races? Yeah. Why aren't you racist against Spider-Man? Why aren't you racist against Captain
Hulk,
America? Like something just Hulk, something. The mainly the way superheroes used to be made before the X-Men were, there was a big incident with Daredevil, with Hulk, with Spider-Man, Captain America got the serum. So there was always something that happened, but the X-Men were created, so that's why I would think, but maybe, I don't know what they're doing, but that would piss me off, because that would take a lot away.
And we may be trying X-Men. To force the X-Men thing.
Yeah,
we know
see,
that
I think
still
it's
still a ways
over.
To come, just like the Fantastic Four, and you know, we're just grasping for straws. But I did think about that when she said died on the vine.
It would
I'm
make
going,
sense.
Well, if one stone can do that, you know, the six stones would obviously give off, I would assume, a pretty big deal when they've been used, what, twice, three times that we know of, together.
I think they're going to look back.
So the next line, which was just the most gutting line, maybe in the entire show, if not series, Vision to Wanda when he's trying to cheer her up. This is soon after the death of Pietro, when they're first literally meeting each other and getting to know each other, other than their battle scene and the time that he held her prison, but... He says, but what is grief if not love persevering, which is just, again, it was sad at the moment, but even sadder when you think about what is about to come just in this episode between the two of them. But again, you got to remember that Vision is, I guess a better human was kind of what Tony and them were trying to envision here. And what a great way to look at grief when she literally has just sat there and told you that, her life feels like drowning endlessly. And every time she tries to get up, a wave hits her again. So it was just a really beautiful scene between two people who I think they did do a good job of in this episode and the show proving their love, which was one thing that I found a little unbelievable in Infinity War, because we didn't really get anything after Civil War going into Infinity War.
You did. That is a good point that they did establish their love, even though I think the other seven episodes established their love, but the origin of their love, you definitely saw. And this line is like an all-time great line. Like, I would give this, my father died in 2014, and it made me think of him. So, and I saw someone else, I'm going to post it in the group on Reddit, how much it touched them. Like, this line really meant a lot, and like, man, you get a little, even on there, Agatha had like a little tear in her eye. She's supposed to be the villain. Like, that was just
that was a really deep line.
Like, whoever wrote that, it sounds like something someone said, like an all-time classic quote or something. And to my knowledge, it's not anything that anybody else had ever said before. The next line is, and this is Wanda in the sword area. I cut down some of this just to hit the most important parts, and I combined these two lines that were pretty close. Are you sure? Not every. This is a Hayward asking Wanda if she wants to bring Vision back to life or why she's there. He says, "Are you sure? Not everyone has the kind of power to bring their soulmate back online." Excuse me, back to life.
What a dick.
And I know. And Wanda says, "No, I can't do that. It's not why I'm here." What did you take of that? Why does Hayward believe that she can do that? And she, her way, her face was like, she was. I can't tell if she knows that she can bring him back to life, or it put the thought in her head, or what was going on.
It's very interesting that this could sort of be. I mean, this could be looked at a thousand different ways. I definitely think that it put the thought in her. I don't, obviously she still doesn't believe up until this episode that she created Vision or kids. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't even totally understand that she's creating everything in her environment. She thinks she just has a home and they're trying to hide it, from their neighbors. What was most interesting to me, though, was that Hayward There's two ways to read it by the look on his face, in my opinion. A, he was trying to find out if she could, because we know that he wants to get his sentient being back. You know, he wants to use it for his purposes. So he's trying to see if that was a way to actually revive Vision. The other could be that he does know, and maybe he was baiting her. And, you know, that gets into, again, how much is Hayward, is he a villain, is he a good guy, is he somewhere in between? Because if he's a villain, and there's some, you know, reveal in the last episode, I think we're going to be able to look back at a lot of things Hayward has said and done, and there's going to be a picture kind of laid out that we kind of missed because we were so distracted by everything else going on.
Yeah, he's just kind of an asshole. I think he might have wanted it to happen because he wants it. He thinks that maybe she can do it, and for some reason, they seem to know about everything that happened in the battle, and I don't know if this was recorded, but everybody knows about the Battle of Wakanda and everything. But I think he's definitely trying to bait her, and I think it does put the idea in her head. But then again, why is Wanda the only one that doesn't know her own powers? Jesus Christ. But there's something interesting I saw. One of one of the artists that does the storyboards posted some on Twitter, and some of the most interesting one, or the most interesting one, has Wanda's a lot more aggressive when she comes up to the table at the sword desk and they won't let her have what she wants. She's more aggressive. And this is what she says. This is a line, folks, that's not in the show that we are covering. So you're getting a little extra here. Wanda says, "I'm sick of everyone acting like Tony Stark is the only person we lost. Like he's the only Avenger there ever was. Too bad then, if you're Natasha, but at least she was flesh and blood, right? But where are the memorials for Vision? No moving tributes for the Synthezoid." I don't know why they didn't put this in here, other than maybe she's low-key bashing, but not really bashing, but low-key bashing the other Avengers. But I don't know why that's not in there. They're so powerful.
It's great. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, my wife can confirm this. When we watched Spider-Man Far From Home the first time, one of my first takes from that movie is, where the hell are the murals to Cap, to...
Yeah, everything's about Tony Stark. Yeah.
To Vision, because everywhere you went, it was Tony Stark, Iron Man. It's like, he's not the only person that died or sacrificed. That was kind of my thought process, and I couldn't imagine if you're in her position where, I mean, I love the last line in that, you know, at least she's blood, you know, flesh and blood, and, you know, sort of the discrimination against this sentient being. Even though he sacrificed himself for the greater good and was willing to do that when even the human Avengers would not do that or hear that. So it was very powerful, and it really was disappointing to see it that it was not in the show, because I think it would have been great, especially with the acting that Elizabeth Olsen's done this season. I think she could have killed that scene. Another just Hayward. When, you know, Wanda's trying to convince him to be able to take the body, he says, "Okay, but I can't let you take $3 billion worth of vibranium just to put it in the ground. So the best I can do is let you say goodbye to him here." Well, that's just, or excuse me. And then when she says, "I just want to, you know, bury him," she goes, "Well, that's just it, Wanda. He is not yours to have." That sure did feel like a villain. I know that we've talked about, you know, Stride on the Line, he could still be a good guy with just a warped sense, but that was, I mean, that was cold. And that's where I get into, he was trying to manipulate it.
Even if he's not, even if they make him the villain, I think he's still justified. Look at the chaos these people have caused since they came to town, basically, man. There's a lot of crap that these people have caused. So if, I think he is more than... more than within his rights to do what he's doing to protect his country. It's not like his motivations are devious just for the sake of devious. Everything he's doing is to do his job. He's just doing it in a ruthless way. In the Marvel universe, that's wrong. But look at what she's doing. What Wanda's doing is wrong, you know? But I know they want to make him like the asshole and the villain. But something that people have been bringing up is, I've seen him on a couple different groups, is how S.W.O.R.D. can claim Vision's body. I have two things, and you can add if you want or react. Two things. I think the United States government does whatever the hell it wants. It just did an airstrike in Syria. We don't have anything to do with Syria. I mean, that's not our country, but we did an airstrike because that's in our best interest. We send in Black Ops people in we send drones. We send Black Ops people in Africa and the Middle East. We just do whatever the hell we want. Anyway, so for them picking up Vision after the snap, where there's half of Wakanda gone, their leaders are gone, I don't think that's a stretch. Or the other part, after the Accords, or just saying that he's an Avenger makes him property of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is related to S.W.O.R.D. They took Vision home. S.W.O.R.D. claimed him. It was in some room, and S.W.O.R.D. claimed him. What do you think?
I think you know both of them. The other thing just to note is that, again, I'm not trying to pick on the Avengers because, you know, they saved Earth and all that, but, I mean, it's just like they never had a funeral for Black Widow. You know what I mean? Like, she got a little, you know, moment where the guys basically rallied around her death, and then Tony got this big send-off that everybody came from, and, I mean, it wouldn't be that surprising that they viewed Vision, honestly, as a robot. I know that there was lines of characters other than Wanda, because Tony, you know, said he's evolving. I think it was in Infinity War. But the bottom line is, you know, once he died, they looked at him as, you know, a piece of machinery, and they did leave him behind. And I think the biggest point that you made, and it is very fair, is, I mean, there's no T'Challa. Who is going to be there? And at that time, I'm sure Wakanda was in ruins. I mean, they had an alien battleground, you know, on their homeland. No offense to Vision. I don't think that was their number one priority, you know, saving his body.
And when we saw Endgame, it wasn't even addressed, was it? Was Vision addressed in Endgame? Like, in the immediate aftermath before they did in time and stuff? Like, so, like, nobody cared. So, nobody cared. You know, so they didn't care. He's a robot. Everybody doesn't have to fall in love with a damn robot or a synthezoid. I'm not falling in love. I'm sorry, Wanda was, but the rest of us don't give a fuck before
this show.
Well,
think about Ultron, too, right? Like, yeah, that's true. They've already seen what can happen. So.
Yeah. I mean, now I'm down with Vision, and Paul Bettany's great, but before this, no, I didn't care. So, you know, it's understandable.
The another one of just the very, you know, sweet and poetic and, I mean, sad, honestly, lines was, you know, when Wanda flies down to see Vision, he's chopped up into a million pieces. She touches his head and says, "I can't feel you." Obviously, this is direct contrast to the "all I feel is you" line from Infinity War when Vision said, you know, his stone is talking to him again. And obviously, because Wanda, we think at that time her powers were made from it, she, you know, asked her to see what she feels, and she says she just feels him, which was at that time a very romantic scene. Now all I'm going to think of when I watch Infinity War is how he's eventually going to, you know, have that scene followed up by "I can't feel you" and Wanda going crazy. But I thought that was a really cool callback. And again, just cementing, you know, I think one of the bigger, you know, things that they kind of didn't suss out as well as they should have, which is Wanda and Vision's, you know, love for one another. That line, even in the first movie, I mean, it was sweet, but it didn't really mean anything. It means a lot more now, hearing this with all we know.
And it helps that you give, and it's the old comic book formula. All this, all they've done this whole thing is the whole comic book formula. You have single issues of one hero, then you have a crossover, and you make more money because you get the kids that buy the Captain America and the Spider-Man and the Iron Man books. If they don't buy all of them, they're gonna buy all their fans are going to buy the big one. And they did the same thing with the movies. And here, if you have a spinoff and you say, hey, you know, these characters are C characters, but we're going to give them their whole show and this treatment, so you get to see more of them. And I think they've done a great job. I did not have a desire to see this show. So they've done a great job. And I heard what they were trying to do with it. I'm like, well, hell, I'll give it a shot. You know, if they're going to do kind of something different. But I had no idea what they were trying to do at first. Next line is, "I know what you are." This is the money shot here at the end of the episode. "I know what you are. You have no idea how dangerous you are. You're supposed to be a myth, a being capable of spontaneous creation. And here you are using it to make breakfast for dinner. This is chaos magic, Wanda. And that makes you the Scarlet Witch." And I looked at this, and a lot of people have said this too. But in the comics, there is like a title of Scarlet Witch. But the best way to make it make sense is to say the Phoenix Jean Grey is like a mantle that you carry. And what she saw when she saw the Mind Stone was another Scarlet Witch, whether that be her in the future or her mother, who's a Scarlet Witch in the comics. That's what I took from that.
So that was the first thing I was going to ask you. Do you think that they are now kind of retconning for this universe, making it a mythical figure, creature, whatever you want to call it? Because that's not exactly what Scarlet Witch is correct in the comics.
Yeah, I think it's coming. Yeah, I think it's more of like a title, a Phoenix Force kind of thing, something that you're passed down or chosen for. That also ties in her to being kind of the Nexus being. I think they're taking her to like a level 10 powered person in the Marvel Universe. I think after this is over, or after they finish with Doctor Strange 2, she might end up being the most powerful being in the Marvel Universe, give or take, if they want to redo the Phoenix Saga with Jean Grey.
And then the chaos magic, because I immediately had to Google this again, not being a huge comic book fan. I mean, are we saying that the definition is kind of the same, that it's magic so powerful that it's thought to be non-existent? You know, in the comic books, by even the modern Sorcerer Supreme himself, the magic can manipulate, warp, and reconstruct the very fabric of existence and reality to the user's very whims and bring about the total destruction to the cosmos, which I think that if that is where they're going with it, that's probably where we're going to get into Doctor Strange and the multiverse stuff. Is he's either she's going to accidentally do that, maybe in this battle in the last episode, or either he's going to have to train her, as you know, most people thought the most powerful sorcerer in the world, and now we know he's not one is,
yeah.
Or she could potentially really mess things up.
The two most famous, that I would say the most famous storylines of the comics that Wanda has that are somewhat based on this is Avengers Disassembled. I believe that's when Wanda, if a comic book nerd knows better, can remember, Wanda realizes the babies aren't real or they're taken away from her or whatever, however you want to look at it, and she just basically kills some Avengers and really just like fucks up the Avengers altogether. So then they're like, okay, Wanda's fucked up the world. Right before House of M, they say, hey, are we going to kill her? What are we going to do with her? She's so powerful and she's mentally ill and out of control. What do we do with her? She does the House of M, where she gives everybody, instead of just her, she gives everybody their fantasy life in the Marvel Universe. And so those powers that she had, between all the powers they've been giving her with the hexes and the chaos magic and the ability to alter realities, I think we're just seeing all of this with Wanda. And I think you could do a lot with the altering of realities if she starts doing this for other people. I think that is incredible. But she, in the comic books, she got powerful enough to do it to the whole Marvel Universe, to put them in this their own world that was basically what everybody's dream world. If she liked them, she gave them what their dream reality was.
And I mean, we could argue, right, that if she manipulated the outcome, which they lead us to believe with her and her brother under that bed, that's got to affect time in some ways, because you're basically, you know, changing reality, which I mean, I guess you could argue is what she's doing here. Then you want to go ahead and do the line from the post-credit or mid-credit? I'm sorry, I know we keep getting that wrong.
All right. Oh, yeah, I'll read it. Okay. We took this thing apart. This is Hayward. We took this thing. I have a soft spot for Hayward, man. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to be the stodgy white man that gets that does dirty
Tony
work.
Tony Stark said to put a dome, you know, around the earth, and look what happened. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Like, he's trying. So I mean, I would want Hayward to be the one in charge if this was real life. I'd want Hayward to be the one in charge.
Absolutely.
But we took this thing apart and put it back together many times, tried every type of power under the sun, when it all was needed was a little energy from the original source. And I thought this was really cool that they used Wanda's energy to reanimate this white Vision that obviously I think we're going to get Vision versus Vision, white Vision versus colored Vision, or the original Vision. I think we're going to get that. I think we're going to get a lot of good stuff next week.
Is there any concern for you? Because I have seen some rumors, and it would make sense because we know that I'm assuming if Sword was able to, you know, get Vision's body, they probably know about Ultron, they probably know about Jarvis, they probably know about all this stuff. Is there any chance that they could bring sort of the Ultron back through the White Vision?
I hope not, because that's one of my least favorite. That's probably my least favorite Marvel movie that I've ever seen. So I mean, maybe, but I think the White Vision.
I'm with you there.
I don't think they're making Ultron because they gave so much focus towards it being Vision. That's Hayward's quest the whole entire time for it to be Vision. But let's do some predictions. It ends, and how does it end? Tell me real quick, as quickly as you can, succinctly as you can, how things, just your summation of how it all ends. Like two sentences.
Okay. Two questions and two sentences. Two questions I still have is will we find out who Agatha's husband Ralph is? And I want to know who Jimmy Woo's missing witness from the witness protection that started this whole thing. It's just too much of a coincidence, in my opinion, that he was from that town, he went missing, and then everything started. But
plot holes. They're not going to plot holes. They forgot.
The way I think it ends, I'm going to say that Wanda ends up defeating Agatha. You're going to have the two visions somehow merge if one of them doesn't kill the other. And I believe Hayward may die at the end of this episode. And I think Doctor Strange is going to turn up in the post-credit scene, and we're going to find out that this hex did have something to do with messing with time, reality, the multiverse, and at that point he's going to have to train her, and that's going to be the plot of the second Doctor Strange movie.
All right, my prediction is Doctor Strange saves the day at the end and tries to help Wanda, teach her whatever. I don't think Wanda goes full villain. Somehow we see Dottie. Remember the blonde girl that was supposed to run it all?
Oh yeah.
Something's going to happen with her, because she was supposed to be the queen bee around the neighborhood. So she's going to have something to do with it. I think Monica shows her superpower powers, and she gets Wanda to talk it down and bring the whole thing down. I think the vision that witch jig loves, that Wanda loves, she's gonna have to say goodbye. I think the kids do live, even if they have to go somewhere, even if she has to go away and train for them to be there. But I think the kids live, and there's no vision, and Monica finally gets a speech that gets through to Wanda.
And so, I am worried about the kids, though.
Yeah, I'm really worried about the kids, too.
Vision has gone through, and he died the second he got outside the hex. She created Vision. We know she created the kids. And then, obviously, there's another comic book where, you know, Agatha and some other people literally steal the kids' powers, which, again, we saw what Agatha did to the witches at the beginning of this episode. I'm very nervous about the kids, but hopefully we don't go down that path. Even for Marvel, I think that's a little dark.
I mean, they might end up being disappearing and then coming back or something like they did in the comic books, but I don't think they'll do that's anything true. To the kids, because it still had a family kind of feel to the show because right. of the yep. sitcoms. But let's wrap it up. We're pretty good on time here. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast and share it as much as you can and spread the word for Ronnie Carlton and Keith Fleming. Have a good one, everybody.